Welcome to A Well Cared For Human, the podcast that tries to convince you that you are 100% normal and an even better than okay example of the human species, despite the fact that sometimes we feel like the craziest, most incapable, or worthless creatures on the face of this planet. I'm Corey, an author, a creative, and the host of the show. Whatever you're bringing to the table today, I hope this episode proves to be a dose of inspiration for you on your quest to become a well-cared-for human. You can find the episode show notes, your free wellness blueprint, and more at awellcaredforhuman.com. And as always, thank you for listening. Hello, humans. It's your host, Corey. And believe it or not, today we are celebrating the 100th episode of A Well-Cared-For Human. Woo! Not me trying to pretend to clap and cheer in a tiny broom closet of my spare room. But yes, it really is the 100th episode of this podcast. I'm really surprised. I don't know if you're surprised, but I'm very surprised that we made it to 100 episodes. I think that when I first imagined doing this podcast, I thought I would just make maybe 50 and I'd put them up as just a freebie for everyone. I hoped it would help people think about their relationship with themselves, think about which areas of their life could benefit from more self-care, from more wellness. But look at us. We're 2 years in. I published the first episode of A Well Cared For Human in March of 2022, and here we have the 100th episode in March of 2024. So, in today's episode, what I want to do is I just want to go through what I've learned from doing the podcast, my thoughts about where the podcast might be going next, am I going to continue the podcast, so on and so forth. So it's just a reflective moment today. And then also I have a question for you toward the end of the episode. So first, what have I learned while doing this podcast? Well, I definitely have learned the mechanics. So I had not imagined that I would be a podcaster. That wasn't really something that I had anticipated doing. If someone had asked me if podcasting was in my 5-year plan or 10-year plan, it never had occurred to me before I started writing the Who Killed My Mother show back in 2020. I believe I put the first episode of Who Killed My Mother up in December of 2020. And that was only because when I lost her that way and I was going to tell the story about my mother's death, it just felt so personal that I wanted to use my own voice to tell it. That's why I ended up going that route for Who Killed My Mother. But when the show was over, I didn't think I would necessarily do anything else. I liked doing some audio projects generally, like I shared with you guys that little ghost story I did with all the sound effects and everything, and that was fun. So I do like audio projects generally, but I don't see them as something that I guess is part of the larger vision that I would just keep doing forever and ever. And so I was really surprised that I ended up enjoying it as much as I did, that I liked how it let me use my creativity in different ways, not just for telling the story, but also I wrote the music for Who Killed My Mother. And so I had these other facets of creativity that I hadn't really played with before. So I really enjoyed that. So I've learned to try new things, as cliche as maybe that sounds, and then to expect the unexpected, that sometimes the plans that we have for ourselves, that we imagine what we'll be doing with our life, the direction that our life is going, that actually sometimes we surprise ourselves, that we end up doing things we didn't think we would do or trying out things we didn't think we would try out. And we end up loving them and we keep doing them. And so that's definitely something I've taken away in addition to the actual learning of the mechanics of podcasting. Something else I've learned is just how passionate I am about wellness, particularly thinking of wellness as a relationship with yourself. So there's a lot of material out there about self-care, how to take good care of yourself, but there isn't much talking about how wellness is your relationship with yourself and how to build that relationship with yourself. And it's become much clearer to me over the 2 years that I've been doing this that we really do benefit from viewing our well-being as a continuous relationship. Because when you think about something as a relationship, that means that it's ongoing, that it's something that has to be maintained and fed and nurtured and cultivated over time. So just like imagine somebody that you have in your life, for this example, it'd be best if you imagine someone you like, someone you have a decent relationship with. But if you don't nurture that relationship, if you don't keep in communication with that person, if you don't continue to hang out with that person or invest that time and energy, you grow apart. And the same is true for ourselves. If we view ourselves as having a relationship with ourselves, and particularly in the context of the four pillars, your relationship with your body, your relationship with your mind and emotions, your relationship with your spirit, and your relationship to connection to others. If we don't invest and nurture that relationship, then we will suffer over time. Our well-being will deteriorate. And so I didn't realize that I cared so much about that and that I was so passionate about that idea. But I really do feel that me having built my relationship with myself is what saved my life. When my mother died, it was really clear to me that the reason why she stayed in that house, why she didn't escape her situation, even though many offers had been made to her to get away from this abusive person who would eventually end up killing her, to get away from these difficult circumstances, it's because she didn't have a great relationship with herself. She didn't believe in herself. She didn't think that she deserved good things or that she deserved to be well. Part of that is on the macro level, but then there's also the micro level. And what I mean by that is, on the macro level, I think we need to advocate and fight for change to make systems more supportive of people. Like, for example, someone like my mother, who had been severely abused as a child, who had been raped as a child, who had been abused as a child, she needed a lot of support. She needed health care support, she needed mental health care support, she needed financial support, educational support, all kinds of support. But a lot of our systems aren't working the way that they need to. They're not supporting people's growth and well-being. It's not built in a way that's meant to help someone to have a good relationship with themselves. And so I want to continue to figure out how I can advocate for those changes, despite the fact that I'm just one person. So I'm still developing my vision long term of how am I going to be a good advocate for changing these systems and making things healthier for people. What can we do that will make people like my mother more likely to survive and thrive despite the terrible things that have happened to them? How can we help them? And so that is going to be advocating at the macro level, this bigger systemic level. And then that will make, hopefully, the micro level work easier, because it's already really hard just to take good care of yourself. I mean, to have a good relationship with yourself is challenging. And so any time we can build a system that supports that, that makes that work as easy as possible, I think that's the vision, that's the dream, the goal, is that we can create something that makes it easier to do the micro work. And the micro work is everything we've covered on this show so far. So when I take you through building a relationship with your body, or I take you through building a relationship with your mind and your emotions or your spirit, connection, etc., that's the individual work. That's the self-work on the individual level, the micro level. But I also would love to figure out how I'm going to take that bigger, to fight for some of these bigger changes that I think need to happen to make that work easier. Don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but I'm putting that out here on the 2-year anniversary of the show, and just to affirm to you and to also myself that I'm looking for ways to do that, that it's in the back of my mind. I don't know the pathway forward yet, but it's already back there and it's brewing, and I'm trying to think of how I can achieve that in the long term, because that would be the dream, because I think a lot of people need support, a lot more support than what they're getting to do that individual work. But what I do hope that you've gained, especially if you've been listening from the beginning, is that I hope you've started to think of your relationship with yourself as achievable, that you hear the things I talk about and you think, absolutely, I can build a better relationship with myself, and that I do deserve to have each part of myself nurtured and honored. And then I hope that I've given you some concrete tools for building that relationship over the course of 2 years. That's my wish. If that's not what's happened, I'm scared to put that out there, but feel free to tell me in the comments if that's true. I would love to know if I'm falling short of my ambition in some way. But I do hope I've helped you to change your idea of self-care and of wellness, that we've changed this narrative about what well-being is. But thinking ahead, I'm also curious about what your thoughts are on the show as a whole. Like, do you like these solo episodes? Do you feel that the 20 to 30 minute length episode is a good length? Originally, when I had set out to create this podcast, I had been like, oh, I'm going to write short 10 to 15 minutes. That way, most people can absolutely get them done in a commute. There's no reason why they can't hear something inspirational on the way to work. help them start off their day or end their day well. And then gradually when I started talking, I realized, I was like, oh, I actually have a bit more to say about this particular topic. And so I wasn't always able to keep it concise. In fact, most of the time I did not. I think 20 minutes is on the shorter end of the episodes I've made. But I do hope that the information I've shared was valuable. And I'm curious to know how that 20-30 minute mark is landing with you guys. Like, does it feel like a good length, or do you wish the episodes were longer? I can't imagine, but do you wish the episodes were longer, or do you wish they were shorter? Do you feel that I've covered all of the topics that you hope I've covered? I leave it open. I always have that call at the end of the episode that if there's something specific that you're dealing with, please reach out to me and let me know and I can address that. And a lot of the episodes that I've done, maybe 15%, have been questions from listeners who have said, you know, I'm struggling with this, and I don't say the person's name or anything. I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm not trying to make anybody feel like they're on the spot. This is not like a Dear Abby column. Though I did love those when I was a kid. It would be fun if this show was that, but I do try to offer whatever affirming advice or wisdom or even just love that I can when I get those questions. Or are there gaps in the conversation? Like, do you feel that I've given too much attention to the body, or too much attention to the mind and emotions, or too much attention to building your relationship with your spirit? Is there something you wish that there was more or less of? I would really love your feedback on that as well, just to get a sense of how you feel like the show is holding together as a whole. And that might be hard to answer if you're someone who just kind of jumps from episode to episode, like you're just picking something at random. It might not be easy for you to get a sense of the project as a whole. And it's a lot of episodes, right? I don't expect everyone to have listened to all 100 episodes. But if by chance you are that person who's listened to all 100 episodes, first of all, thank you so much for being such a loyal listener. You're amazing. I don't know what I did to deserve such a great fan, such a great follower like you, but if you're just someone who has listened to most of the episodes, not all of them, and you feel like you have a good sense of the shape of the show altogether, I would love to know if you feel like there's any gaps or anything that I could give more time or attention to. Because I definitely want to keep the show going. I thought about taking a short break and then maybe when I come back from the break, changing the format. Solo episodes, they're good and they're bad. Good in the sense that I can write the episode, I can think about what I want to say on a subject, and then I can just come into my booth and I record it, edit it, share it with you. So the process is a little bit easier in the sense that it's all done on my time and on my schedule, so to speak. It takes me probably 4 to 5 hours to create each episode. So it's not a huge time commitment every week, but it is a bit of a time commitment, especially with everything else that I've got going on. But then I thought maybe it might be beneficial to move away from the solo episode format and instead start looking at maybe interviews, because there are many podcasts in which I have listened to in which I really enjoy the interview component, which means that the podcast host find someone who speaks on that particular topic, or if it's a show that's a little bit broader. So for example, one of the podcast shows I really love is The Creative Pen, and it's all about marketing your books or being a writer. So it's not like every episode is about editing, for example, but they're related somehow to the writing world or to a career as an author. And she does interview shows, which means that she brings different experts on. And I thought, well, maybe that would be beneficial for us if I brought on different people who either had some lived experience with something difficult, or not even, it doesn't have to be difficult. We don't always have to talk about dark, terrible things. We could also have happy episodes, happy shows. But just having people come on who know something about wellness, either because that's their professional world, like maybe they are a therapist, or maybe that they are a rehabilitator or something, like that's their job, or just because personally they are someone who has lived through something kind of like what I've done with my mother, and they have some thoughtful insights to share on what's helped them to grow, what's helped them to feel like a healthy, happier, stronger person. So I also considered that, changing it from these solo shows where it's just me talking in a booth to these interview formats where I bring these other people on. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. Like, do you like interview shows? Do you think we would benefit from having people on who have maybe some other perspectives, some other experiences to share with us? There's a couple of setbacks from that in the sense that it might take me longer to make those episodes. The release schedule might change. It might not be every week. Going forward, it might be every other week, because I can imagine that episodes have to be a little more heavily edited. It might also be that the sound quality is not as good. That's not a guarantee, but sometimes when you bring other people on, you know, you're working with their backgrounds. Like, there are some people who are podcast guests and they just have, like, their children screaming in the background or their dogs are barking. Not everyone can go into a closet and have a conversation like I can. And even me, I have to time it well. Like, when people aren't doing something in the neighborhood, like for the last 4 days, someone's been cutting down a tree next door. I couldn't record anything while that was happening, or you would have just been hearing saw sounds. So it's difficult to always have a perfect recording situation where you can only get absolutely wonderful audio. So for example, my wife just came home and slammed the door. I don't even know if the mic's gonna pick that up, but but that just happened. So things are not perfect. And when things are not perfect, that's more likely in an interview situation because you can't control the audio setup on the other end for the person. So I'm not trying to discourage you from this. If you think the idea of interviews are exciting, fantastic, tell me about it. I would love to hear that. I get excited when other people get excited. I just want to give you some things to think about that, you know, we could do this, but here are the pros and cons. I think that's all I want to share today, which is that I've loved doing this show with you. I absolutely want to keep doing it. I'm really proud of what we've accomplished so far. I've learned a lot. I look forward to learning more. And I would just love some feedback from you guys on the format and the length, and do you like the frequency? Are you still good with every week, or do you wish that I took more breaks? Do you feel like you're falling behind? Should I try to cut back and speak a little quicker on some things? I already try to edit out a lot of my pauses and breathing. If you ever come see me in real life and I speak, you're going to be like, wow, she breathes between her sentences. It'll be a very different experience than when I'm in the audio booth and I'm trying to compress the episodes as much as possible. And as always, if it wasn't abundantly clear, I just want to thank you so much for being a listener and for allowing me to share my voice and my time with you. And I really hope that it has been of benefit, and that if nothing else, I've been a kind, loving voice in your ear. I'm glad that I have the opportunity to be that person for you. And that's it for today, dear human. As always, I hope you found this episode useful. And if you would like to write into the show today and ask me for my thoughts on something that you're dealing with, I would love to hear from you through any of my social media or through email at corey@coreymshum.com. Otherwise, I will be back next week with another episode of A Well Cared For Human. And until then, please take good care of you. This episode of A Well Cared For Human was written and produced by me, Corey Marie. The music was by Late Night Feeler and Esther Abrami. If you like what I'm doing here, please consider visiting my Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get early ad-free access to the episodes, as well as a monthly patrons-only Q&A, bonus videos, and more. Not to mention that your Patreon support lets me know that you find value in the show and want it to continue. You can find me on Patreon by visiting www.patreon.com/Corey Marie. If you can't support the show financially, that is okay. You can still subscribe to the show, leave a review of the show, and recommend the show to your friends, not just the neurotic ones. All of this helps so much. And as always, thank you for listening.